Hello and welcome to our Inside Consulting podcast series. I'm your host, Mark Wigley-Smith, and I'm part of the Talent Attraction and Acquisition team here at EY. Here we share one central purpose, to build a better working world. We empower our people with the right mindsets and skills to navigate what's next, become the transformative leaders the world needs, pursue careers as unique as they are, and build their own exceptional EY experiences. This podcast series focuses on our consulting service line and covers a range of topics. You'll learn how we are transforming businesses through the power of people, technology, and innovation. Each episode brings together our people, sharing their career stories and perspectives about what it's like to work at EY. We hope each episode leaves you feeling inspired and considering a career with us. In today's episode, I'll be speaking with Claire Layton and Robert Mattai about their roles within our business consulting transformation team. Hi, Claire. Hi, Robert. Thanks so much for joining us today. How are you both doing?
Very well, thank you.
Very well.
Today we're going to be chatting about your roles and giving our listening audience an insight into business transformation at EY. I think it'd be a good place to start with some intros, so perhaps you could cover a little bit about your roles and what you do.
My name is Claire Layton. I am a senior manager within the EY business consulting team. I work for the program management cohort, so we cover all sectors in the financial services industry, and our job is to deliver large transformation programs of work across all industries.
Thanks, Claire. And Robert?
Yep, so similar to Claire, I'm a senior manager within business consulting, and I sit within a function called business design, whose job it is to take customer-led thinking principles or journeys and strategize that into operations. So how would you take a future state journey and develop that into an operating model, a business case, a roadmap for change? My background is very much insurance and banking, but have been involved in wealth and asset management over the years as well.
Okay, fantastic. Thanks both. I wonder if we can start with a bit more detail on business transformation. Can you explain what this means to our listeners?
So having the benefit of being in EY now for almost 7 years, I think I've seen the transition of what we used to have, which was very much kind of point solutions for certain client problems, to what we now have today, which is very much what we call business transformation. And the way I articulate it, both to clients and also internally, is we help not only solve or articulate the problem that the client is trying to fix or solve for, we then go into the next level of design, and then we bring in, as part of an integrated professional services firm, all the components required to deliver this end to end in its purest form. So that's design, delivery, deployment. And we're fortunate enough to be gifted with quite a wide range of talent, not only in consulting, but also across the other service lines as well, which we can then pull on. So wherever we have a situation where we don't know the topic or we don't know the subject matter, there is always someone somewhere who can help plug that gap and help bring the client the best solution for that end-to-end delivery.
I think that was an excellent summation there, Robert. I mean, the on the ground, you know, actually in a practical term, you know, we run these massive, huge, large-scale transformation programs for clients. So I think where in the past, maybe consulting was used for small bits of a transformation. We now, you know, do the full end-to-end program of transformation. So that's on regulatory change. And we're talking about the large-scale MIFIDs, the Solvency IIs, the things that are really huge regulatory change that came in, the IFRS changes, as well as when we're dealing with clients, top-tier L&P or investment banks or wealth and asset management clients, we were looking at changing the whole system architecture, changing the whole way they operate, streamlining their businesses, and you know, aiming to change the whole target operating models.
Mm-hmm. And maybe just a quick reflection as well is our clients have evolved as well. So it's not just EY becoming more end-to-end and transformative in mindset. What we find, especially in the larger clients, so the big banks, the big asset managers and wealth providers and insurers, is they themselves are far more integrated, far more kind of fluid in terms of their decision-making. So previously used to deliver a project for a head of or a managing director or a C-suite executive. More and more, we're now finding ourselves working almost transversal across many different stakeholders, which does require that kind of multi-skilled, but also ability to cover so many different topics all wrapped up into one single body of change. And that is incredibly exciting. I think it brings so much challenge and so much rigor to the work we do these days, which is great.
Fantastic, thank you. And what would you say attracted you both to EY?
Well, mine's kind of a little bit of a long story because I've worked in financial services just before joining EY for 27 years. So I worked in industry and I worked as a contractor as well during that time. And I, due to my industry jobs, came across auditors and, you know, had a very strong relationship throughout the years with EY from an audit firm perspective, not from a consulting perspective. So I got to know the audit side of EY before I joined. Always found them out of the top four the friendliest, the most easy to work with kind of people. So I always had this kind of impression of EY that I would phone audit for questions on some complex issues and they'd always help me. And so I was very much a huge supporter before I joined. And I worked in industry contracting and I rose to a program director level, which is fantastic. I wanted to continue to develop. I think there's a myth that you kind of get to that point and, you know, you've got to where you want to get to. I actually felt there was lots more development in me. And I actually saw the advert and thought, wow, EY. and applied, and the rest is history, really. I just felt like my career had stalled, even though I'd reached the top. Yeah.
Fantastic. Thanks, Claire. And Robert, what are your thoughts in terms of why you came to EY and what attracted you?
It's a great question. And I come from the kind of the different end of the spectrum in the sense that I've never actually worked in industry. So I've always been in research or consultancy. And I mean, EY has always had a great reputation, whether it's assurance excellence, whether it's tax, whether it's, you know, detailed specific transaction or actuarial experience. And obviously consulting where we sit is a key pillar. I think one of the most populous pillars, even in UK FSO now. And what I always found, especially with friends who had worked for other big four and other consultancies, was EY had always grounded itself in kind of quite a high degree of specialism. And so I was thinking that EY would be a very specialised organisation. And then when I joined and spoke to some of the partners and some of the associate partners and directors in the interview process, I found actually although it's expertise in lots of areas, it's very broad. So, you know, especially because I came kind of in the strategy and customer type capability as well. So it's very much, you know, it's not the same project every week. It's not the same client every other month. It's not the same client. It's different topics. We're responding to market. What attracted me was that diversity in work, and then meeting the people as well. I found actually it's a very energetic, kind of very innovative bunch as well. So very entrepreneurial. Lots of interesting perspective as well. And we'll probably cover it a bit later, but for any new recruits, we're not that hierarchical either. So although we have very senior professionals at the top, whether it's equity partners, whether it's, you know, experts in their fields, whether it's director level, whatever, everybody has a voice. So I've sat in meetings where the first year graduate and the senior partner are both having a discussion around the same topic as part of a working session, which is great, because that shows that we're willing to listen at all levels and collaborate at all levels as well.
What we're going to do now is move on to your roles and discuss them in a little bit more depth and detail. I wonder if you can cover how your roles impact your clients directly.
My role is on major transformation programs of work. For the moment, I'm working for a tier one global investment bank. So I was brought in to assist the clients in a major transformation program. It's actually hooked into Basel III, which is regulatory. So that's just the capital you need to retain for the investments you hold. I was brought in to help agilize the program. So the program's been going now for a couple of years, and they wish to switch from a waterfall to an agile approach. So I was brought in to help them switch the program over. So we're looking at how the program itself looks, what are the minimum viable products we can start delivering. So we switched to that and started delivery in that mind frame. Having joined the client now, though, my role's expanded, as I'm sure Robert will tell you, your roles do expand. So I'm actually doing delivery as well. So they've asked me to deliver part of that program. So great to work with people, new people again, which I always find I'm very much a people person. So I love the fact that I go in and I'm getting to know new people. Hugely interesting. That's my current role. But prior to that, when I joined EY, I'd done wealth asset management, life and pensions. Since joining EY, I've now done cap markets, wealth, asset management, life and pensions. So I've even managed and retail banking. I'd never done retail banking before. So, you know, and everything I've done since I've joined has been, you know, the major huge transformation programs, be it regulatory or be it platforming, replatforming software. So those have been my kind of areas that I've been given, which has been great. Thoroughly enjoyed every single one of them.
Thanks, Claire. And Robert, again, how do you feel your role impacts your clients directly?
So as I was mentioning at the outset, our practice, business design, is very much focused on taking customer as the starting position and then trying to solve a problem, whether it's operational efficiency, whether it's revenue, whether it's protection of market share, through the customer lens. And if I look at the two projects I'm doing at the moment, one in corporate banking, so working for one of the largest corporate banks in Europe, even in the world, and then one also in the life and pensions and wealth management sector as well, working for, I believe, the largest European asset manager or wealth manager. The two projects are very different, but they're ultimately trying to solve the same challenge, which is how do we become more effective in serving the outcome of what the customer is asking for. So, for example, in commercial banking or corporate banking, a customer will typically, a large client or someone that works within the treasury department or the finance department of a large client would want to change part of their product or part of their service. The way it works today in very large banks is that's quite a painful process with a long turnaround time and lots of confusion and the customer calling back in. What we're trying to do is fix that through better straight-through processing, through keeping the customer agenda and outcome at the forefront. Similarly, in the life and pensions engagement I work on, this is looking at how do we effectively serve needs of clients when they are thinking about retiring or approaching that retirement age. Very different to commercial banking, but fundamentally the same problem, which is they will have very esoteric requests that they will engage with, and the provider, the supplier, will look to support that. And the current state is it can be very complicated. There's lots of kind of regulatory challenges with this, especially around how you give advice and information you give. So we're trying to kind of help improve that with digital as an enabler as well. So, you know, what's the role of giving the customer more self-service? What does that mean for how our frontline teams are then equipped to serve other types of requests that may come in? So, two very different clients, two very different kind of groups of project teams, but ultimately trying to solve for the same customer-led problem. And that's ultimately the purpose of our team and how we pull on the kind of the wider EY consulting capability to deliver.
Brilliant. Thanks, Robert. And the next point was actually asking you to detail the types of clients that you work with and the types of projects that you work on, which you've both done, which is great. But I wonder if you could cover that in any more detail in terms of the range of clients, perhaps the the range of projects, but also what might be a slightly more typical project in your roles. Robert, I'll come back to you if that's okay.
Yeah, sure. So we in the UK, we have a broad range of clients, and the clients we find ourselves navigating towards, especially on these bigger transformational topics, are typically kind of the larger end. And at that end, it's very similar to the previous projects I've outlined, you know, trying to improve customer outcomes, trying to get efficiency or revenue protection or growth as a result of that. With the kind of mid-sized clients, so if we think in the banking sector, we have a long tail of what we call challenger banks, you know, the local building societies, the new entrants, the fintechs. We are finding ourselves seeing much more work in this field as well. But interestingly, from a customer perspective, they're very customer centric, because that's how they were basically brought up. Their genesis of these organizations is to be customer first. And that's not saying that the larger organizations are not. Evidently, that's definitely not the case. But what it means is their processes and their operating model and everything around the people agenda is already geared towards customer. So for them, it's far more, what are the enablers that we can do to be better on our day-to-day jobs? Whereas at the larger end, it's very much around, you know, how do we mobilize a piece of work? How do we create the business case? How do we ensure that we're not creating unnecessary risk or unnecessary regulatory burden in the process? So those are kind of the spectrum of clients. And in industries, it's very much across our three main industries in financial services, and even sometimes in non-financial services as well. You do have some clients who cut across the both, such as some of the retailers who have banking operations.
Thanks, Robert. And Claire, do you have a range of projects that you're involved in, but also some that are a little bit more reoccurring and something you're involved in more frequently?
I kind of have started it when I started at EY. I had a USP. I'd worked for one of the big fintech companies who are a major player in the replatforming marketplace in the UK. So when I joined, obviously, I've utilised some of that skill. So I've worked with our colleagues in technology. And as a byproduct of having that experience, it's allowed me to talk to our tier one clients and discuss with them this fintech provider, work with my ex-employer, the fintech provider, to supply to our client the new platform. So I certainly use that skill, but I'm pleased to say it's not been something that I've been niched into, which I'm sure in industry it's kind of that way, where that's your only ability and skill. But yeah, I've worked major tier one clients utilizing the capabilities of a fintech platform, which is something that I can specialize in. But my clients are usually tier one. Most of the time, I've done a small wealth company in Birmingham briefly for 6 months. But out with that, they are usually the top tier, the bigger companies that have huge transformation to implement.
Brilliant, thanks. And what do you both enjoy most about your roles, and what types of challenges are you often exposed to?
I love the I think I keep mentioning it, and I keep, it's not, it is actually a really big deal as you get more and more experience in the working world, I think, but diversification of what I do is so important to me, because I'm one of those people who gets really itchy feet in industry, where you're brought in as a contractor, you're converted to perm, you're brought in because you're delivering something really complicated. Once that's delivered, you're then put onto stuff that isn't that complicated, because the company you're working for doesn't have another major transformation piece of work to get you to deliver. So I find myself not stretched in industry, and I love the fact that I'm stretched all the time. And I think Robert said that earlier, that kind of feeling when you first join EY, with all my experience, that I kind of thought I knew a lot. And I realized, it took me a few months to realize I knew nothing. Well, I did know stuff, but I didn't know half as much as I thought I did. And I found that scary at first. but I've kind of really embraced it. And so I enjoy the diversity, but I also love the fact that in the reverse of that, I've got loads of industry experience. And one of the things we do really well at EY is we mentor people in lower grades. So I love that part of my job. I do lots of training for our graduates and senior consultants and managers. And I love that side of it, the fact that I'm passing on information.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you. And Robert, what would you add to that in terms of what you enjoy most, but also some of the challenges you're exposed to?
So everything Claire mentions, I completely agree with. The teaming is probably the bit I enjoy the most. So having a team, especially in the senior manager role, where you're kind of you're managing the team, but you're also close enough to the senior clients, and you've got the top cover coming from your senior team as well. You feel like you're kind of seeing and hearing and breathing everything, which is great, because you're kind of constantly connecting, constantly trying to shift and morph the deliverable or any kind of challenges or concerns that may be coming throughout the engagements. So that teaming bit is great. And when you make that transition into kind of a high performing team, which is quite often used in our industry, but you do see that shift every now and again where the whole team are operating at the same level, everyone's speaking the same language, we're heading towards, you know, the direction that we want to get, and even further sometimes, which is fantastic. That's definitely what I enjoy the most. And the challenges, notwithstanding what we've had in the last kind of 15, 16 months, I think the challenge has been no doubt the shift to this new working world, which we have. For example, now we should really be in a room talking to each other. We're here sitting in, I believe, living rooms or bedrooms or wherever we may be. It's not as engaging. It's you don't get the buzz of sitting there in a meeting room, of shaking the hand of the client, of meeting the new team members. I think it's taken its toll, not just for myself, but speaking on behalf of my colleagues. There is a big mental health agenda, of course, and the firm has been incredibly supportive. And, you know, I find myself speaking to my managing partner quite a lot about how we're doing, how we're coping, how the kids are, how we're dealing with, you know, potentially long working hours, potentially managing competing priorities. I think that's not unique, I think, to EY, but I feel supported enough to be able to deal with the challenges, but also where to look in finding solutions for those as well.
And just touching on COVID-19, how do you feel it's impacted your roles, but also the wider industry that you're working in? Robert, I know you've obviously just touched on it there. Is there anything else you feel COVID has had an impact on in terms of the way that we work and the way that we go about working with our clients?
Yeah, so initially, back in March 2020, which does feel like a long time ago now, there was, I think, a little blip where not only, you know, us, but also the clients we work with were trying to figure out the best kind of medium, the best kind of cadence, communication methods. And I was in flight in a project at the time. We were delivering workshops on a kind of bi-weekly basis. We had one workshop planned for, I think it was the Friday. I think the announcement from the government came on possibly the Tuesday of that week. So we had to very quickly transition to moving towards one of these video platforms. And it wasn't as effective, that first workshop. But then we got the feedback collectively. We discussed how we can make it more collaborative, give better breaks. It was a 5-hour workshop, so that's a long time to be sitting in front of a screen. And we found the way forward. And that's not just something that happened to us as a project team. I think it happened to almost every project team, where we were able to find the best medium based on the individual preferences of not only the supplier, but also the client as well. So I think actually we've adapted quite well. If I look now, we're doing incredibly interactive virtual sessions. So we have a capability called Wavespace, which used to be still is, but it used to be pre-COVID in a big collaborative center with lots of visual TVs and, you know, lots of interaction physically. We've managed to transition that to a virtual environment, and that digital native way of doing it has actually been equally as effective, funnily enough. And we've been able to actually get people from other regions. So I've sat on a call where we've had APAC colleagues, we've had North American colleagues, and obviously us based in Europe, being able to all sit there at the same time. Whereas before, that would have involved logistical challenges and, you know, people trying to fly in and lots of costs. I think if anything, it's made us probably more efficient in doing this kind of work.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that, you know, I think the thing is about working in consulting at EY, when it happened for us individually, there was a jarring mental health issue, I think, because we're all kind of, I think one of the skills you need is to be good with people. And all of a sudden, there aren't all these people to talk to. And so that was hard for me. As a social person, I found that really difficult. But from a work perspective, we're always remote working anyway, be it that we're on client site, be it that we're in a different office. We were always set up from a technology perspective to be able to adapt that. I personally was on a program of work, Robert, that was global. So I was dealing with people all over the world. So we were already remote working. So the fact that, again, we were remote working actually didn't impact me personally because we were doing everything remotely anyway.
Let's move on. Thanks both for your comments so far. We're going to talk about misconceptions about your roles, or perhaps some perceived misconceptions about your roles. What would you say are the types of skills that are important within the roles that you do?
People skills. I mean, I'm in program management, so the ability to talk to all levels of people. So in the job I do, we will talk to the CFO, the CEO of a top tier global bank. So we literally access into that kind of level. But then we have access into program directors and business analysts and testers and everybody. So in my role, people skills are the paramount greatest skill you can have. And certainly in consultancy, the ability to be able to go on client site, answer questions, talk to people, and empathize with their problems. A lot of clients use us for that. You know, come to us with a problem and we're there to help solution it with them. So for me, that is the paramount, most important skill. I really think that we build real bonds with our clients, really strong friendships. And that for me is the strongest skill I think you need in consulting.
Just moving on to business transformation as a whole, what would you say about business transformation at the moment in terms of why it's an exciting place to work?
I think that, you know, we're seeing an industry now across all of the markets and the sectors. MiFID obviously changed the landscape quite dramatically for the asset managers. Then we're starting to see regulatory change that's come in over the last few years. But what we've moved on to now is seeing these major transformations where some of the sectors are using system, you know, Microsoft platforms that date back to the 80s. And so it's exciting because we're seeing a mass transformational marketplace happening across the sectors, some driven by regulations that mean that cost effectiveness is now the primary driver. So that makes it really exciting. Because there's a huge amount of transformational work that will be happening in the market. And we can see that some clients have started. Those that have will have a lead in the marketplace. And those that haven't will quickly start doing it. So, you know, certainly over the next decade, transformational target operating models, new platform, new technology, it's very much what's driving those industries.
I think just on the demand side as well, you know, the customer is different these days as well. So, you know, we still have the same needs as we did 100 years ago, but the way that we expect and interact with our financial services providers is vastly different. So much self-gratification, so much instant access, so much, you know, everything's kind of moving towards a much more kind of seamless, what we call omni-channel, which is kind of everything coming together as one experience. And that poses inherent challenges to any organisation, not just financial services for that matter.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about obviously Generation X and then the millennials, and these people want to be able to do everything online. They don't want to see paper. They don't want to. The instant gratification, as you mentioned, Robert, is massively prevalent. Then you look at our sectors and you see how many of them outside of your retail bank are on your phone as an app. You know, and your bank account, yes, is because everybody did that a decade ago. I worked on some of those mobile applications. So, you know, yes. But then when you're talking about L&P and wealth, they've been a bit slower in that sector. But we're different people. Our clients need to attract clients that aren't our age group. They're a lot younger and they want the instant gratification. Buy something now, receive it, touch it, feel it.
How have you both progressed within EY and how have you been able to achieve that progression?
So started about 7 years ago. I think this is my seventh year. I joined as a first level manager. So what we call manager one. And in those 6 years or 7 years, I think I've gone up more or less every grade every year. So I'm now what we call a senior manager three, which is six grades above or five grades above. And the way that's happened is really just been delivering good quality work, but also starting to build a leverage model as well. So showing that I am coaching, showing the traits required as part of what we call the transformative leadership pillars. So, you know, being honest, being showing integrity, showing that you care about the people agenda, putting clients first, but not undermining the kind of development needs of your teams and of the wider firm as well. And I think if you apply these kind of principles throughout your career at EY, you will just gradually move up the ranks. I've seen so many people join at junior grades and try to rush through the ranks, and where they often sometimes get stuck is that wider kind of growing the firm, growing the people agenda piece. Because as the next generation of leaders, we're being asked to not just focus on the commercial aspects, but we're only ever as good as our people. So if you focus on that as well as the client, you're generally onto kind of a very good track, which is essentially where I'm hoping that's where my career ends up eventually. But you know, I continue doing what I'm doing. I'm not changing as a result of my progressions or promotions. I'm still doing the same things that I was doing, just with probably more responsibility, bigger teams, probably more difficult topics. But you're taking it step by step, so you never feel like you're underwater. And I think that's probably testament to our talent management system as well. That, you know, I haven't been forced through the ranks too quickly, or I haven't been held back too slowly. I feel like I'm kind of moving up nicely step by step without finding myself in any difficulty along the way.
And obviously feeling a sense of belonging is really important, particularly since we've all been working from home. How have your team supported you over the past few months, few years, and perhaps even throughout your entire tenure at EY? Obviously the last 15 months is quite different to the previous few years. But how have they supported you?
Yeah, we don't go to the pub anymore, so that's the big difference, and that's the saddest thing. Not that it was a drinking culture, but, you know, it's nice to have a beer on a Friday evening after a week at work, and certainly EY is hugely sociable. I mean, obviously I'm based in Scotland, but certainly I've become very close friends with colleagues in London as well as very close with everybody who works in the Scottish offices. But you know, culturally for me, EY has that wonderful kind of group of people. And so for me, I can't say anything nicer about them.
And advice for anyone interested in a career in business transformation, could you share one piece of advice that you'd offer to them?
I think it's find out what business problems you want to be solving for. And then come and see if EY can help solve those, because inevitably we will be doing those. And if you've got a passion in certain areas across the transformation agenda, then there will be a home for you. rather than trying to join EY. I think find the problem you like, and then EY will help help you have a career in solving that problem or problems.
Yeah. I was just going to add to that. I mean, for me, think about what your long-term goal is in your career. Don't look for the short term. I made that my mistake in the past, contracting and, you know, the big bucks and the big money. And actually think about the things that actually really do matter over time, like a culture of the company you work for. I mean, that's far more important to me now than it ever was. And, you know, the money, that's worth far more to me than any amount of money. And I'm being honest now, as I get older, I keep saying I'm really old, but it's certainly culturally. So identify what your needs are personally. What do you want from a company? And then match yourself with that company, and expect, you know, look at what people say online about companies. It's very rarely wrong, isn't it? The information you find online about companies and their culture. I think I've read about EY online, and yeah, it very much does meet the reputation it's got. Very much a people company. And I suppose the second bit of advice is, you may think you know it all, but you don't. Unfortunately.
Yeah, very sort of kind of leads into what Robert says about identifying perhaps what you don't know, and where you can reach that resource and kind of leverage that experience for sure.
Thanks so much for your time today. It's been great to find out more about you and your role at EY. You've given our listeners lots of food for thought about what a career in transformation is really like. If you're feeling inspired or want to find out more about a consulting career at EY, search EY Careers in Consulting online. Thanks for listening and take care.